comes from the Greek and word named mathetes, which means a learner or a student. It was the tradition of Jesus' day that disciples not only learn from the teacher's lectures and discourses, but also by observing and experiencing every aspect of the teacher's very life. The disciples literally lived with the teacher. And some of us don't want to come to church midweek.
Watch out.
That's why you can't operate over in the Holy Ghost. Because you don't know what it's like to live under somebody else. When I was, can I use myself as an example? When I was coming up, I wore my wife out going to church so much. We went to church all the time. Even when we had babies, we went to church all the time. I was at church Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday morning, 7:45, Sunday morning at 11, Sunday morning, Sunday night at 6 p.m. I had keys to the church. I was always in his face. Call me when you're going somewhere. When we traveled, we have two services and go to a third service when he was preaching somebody else, where at another church, and we was always right there. If you want something, you got to be around. It's crazy to think that you can just get something and not come around what you wanted at it right when you show up. You got to spend some time with the teacher. You got to spend some time with the person that's going to give you some information so that you can be like who you want to be. So that you know more about God. I hung around my pastor so much. I got on his nerve. I invited him over for dinner. We had smothered pork chops with mashed potatoes. My wife hooked it up. He had him over for dinner. I had a place for him to lay his head. Because I wanted to learn so much. I wanted to be up underneath so much. I had no, and look, I didn't go into this thing thinking I was going to be a preacher. That's what some of us do. Well, I'm going to be an evangelist, so I'm going to do this. No, I just wanted to learn more of God. And the best way to get that was to get up underneath the man that was teaching me. So that when he taught me, I was right there every single time the doors was open. I was right there every single time something was going on. And the reason I'm saying this is because some of us want power, but don't know how to go about getting it. Some of us want that anointing, but don't know how to go about getting it. Some of us only speak to the pastor on Sunday, but don't ever just say, hey, pastor, let's go to lunch. Pastor, what's going on? Yeah, I got a lot on my plate, but you heard what Sister Sales said. It's my job. If you call me to hang out with you, I'll hang out with you.
All right.
These disciples spent so much time with Jesus that they began to take on the very characteristics of Jesus himself, that they couldn't even get away from it. When Jesus was going to the cross, they couldn't get away from it. Peter, he said, you know him, you sound like one of them. Yeah. What's the last time somebody told you, you sound like you saved? You sound like you anointed. You sound like you know what you're talking about. You sound like you bless the Lord at every cost, at every turn. What's the last time somebody said, ooh, you just, I know you say. What's the last time somebody came up to you and said, you go to church, huh? You anointed, huh? What did I tell about somebody said, you're a prayer warrior, huh? The Spirit of the Lord is so strong that people can discern right when you walk in the room whether or not you come in with power or you come in just to be coming in. Ooh, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. It's a teachable moment. We want power, but we don't want to spend no time with the teacher. We don't want to read his word. We don't want to spend no time marking up our Bible and praying on it and getting down on our knees and asking God to impart on it. We just want to come in and shout. We want to come in and dance. I love dancing. I love shouting. But the thing that I love more than that is his word. I love how it talks back to me when I read it. I love how it makes sense to me. I love how I can break it down. I can go to some study helps and get the meaning of certain words. I love how I can go to my Greek Bible and understand it the way that it was really written. I love how when I read my Bible, the Lord actually talks back to me. my Bible like that, I read it with an expectation of God saying something back to me. I just don't read it just to be reading it. I just don't be reading it just to say, I read my Bible. I read with the expectation that God is going to say something back to me when I read it. I respect the word so much that I pray before I read it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, say something back to me through your word. You want to be with the teacher? Get up underneath. They watched everything the teacher did. They listened to everything he said. They ate and traveled with him. Now this is what gets me. And I'm gonna tell it like it is. Some people in the church get mad because they say, Pastor, you only hang out with a certain group of people. The thing about that group is it's not exclusive.
Amen. Right.
All you gotta do is say, I'm hanging too. Well, come on. It ain't no membership. This ain't no 24-hour fitness where you gotta put your finger on the thing and scan it and punch in your phone number. If you wanna hang out, all you gotta do is say, I'm hanging out. Yep. Pastor, I'm going with you. Well, come on. It's interesting how people say, Pastor, you only hang out with this group, or Pastor, why don't you ever come over here? Well, why don't you ever come where I am? Come on. I'm one of the last ones to leave
Man.
The church every Sunday. And people say, Pastor, why hang out with me? You want to walk in these shoes? Hang out with me. You want to meet? Wait till everybody leaving and let's talk right here on the front row. You got to hang out with the teacher. I do know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be braggish or braggadocious, or I'm not trying to sound haughty, or but I do know what I'm going to school for a reason.
All right.
God has given me a certain level of intelligence. I do think I'm smart, not to the point where I'm going to brag on it, but I can read and understand what he's saying. Yeah. And if you want to know, if you want to come and ask me, then be prepared for a real answer. I didn't expect it to come out this way, but it's coming out like this.
All right.
Now, I guess somebody sitting in the audience today, you're just looking for power, your artificial power. You're looking for artificial power. Artificial power means, you know, it's like you unplug the laptop and you only run on the battery, and the battery only lasts for about a day. And when you really need some power, you see, if you read your laptop will tell you got 10% remaining, 20% remaining, and then your light begins to go dark and then the light. The laptop, this thing right here, actually begins to get dim the more it goes without the battery. You got to plug up to the source. And since you're a member here, since you come here, don't it make sense to get next to the person that's going to help you get what you need from God?
All right.
They lived in close proximity with Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, they went. Everything Jesus did. They hung with Jesus. And watch this. If they didn't do that, the church would be here today. If they hadn't been faithful to the task, the church would be here today. But because they stayed with it, the church exists today. As a result of 12 men, the church is in existence today. And Jesus was the master, the excellent teacher. He was proficient. He taught them how to do certain things. He gave them real information. He gave them feedback that really affected their lives. There was no other school, university, there is no other teacher that can claim such ineffectiveness. Because what he taught can change the world. Okay, is there anybody else that can make that claim? What he taught 12 men changed the world. So what are you saying? I'm saying it. One person makes a difference.
Amen.
But out of those 12 men, one stood out above the rest. His name was Peter. We call him the apostle, the one that Jesus calls a rock. A very unique and passionate quality about this disciple distinguished himself from the other 11. A quality of Peter was to understand the issues that were at hand. He was known for asking why. He wasn't disrespectful, but he stayed in Jesus' face. And just like anybody, I would assume that the other disciples thought Peter was a big mouth. Yeah, you got some family members, they always talk to you. You got some kids, always ask you why. I mean, you ever had a toddler or a three-year-old? Why this? Why that? Why? Why? Can I go to the bathroom by myself? No. Why can't I go? Can I buy, ice cream? No. Why not? Why? Why is the sun in the sky? Why does it set over there, but raises up over there? Why are there little lights in the sky? Why is the tree brown? Why are the leaves green? Why is the dirt brown? Why is that car blue? Always got a why. Anybody ever see some children like that? And you wanna tell them to be quiet, but you don't want to squash that inquisitiveness. And if they keep it when they get older, always asking why, after a while they get proficient in finding an answer for themselves. So that was a quality of Peter. Peter's quality was to always ask why. And other disciples saying, Peter, won't you shut up? You always ask me why, no? Get quiet. I'm trying to eat. I'm sure they said he talked too much. I'm sure they felt that he was a know-it-all. There's a tendency to ask why. But Jesus took hold of that, and he noticed how this loud mouth, obnoxious man always was asking why. And so he rewarded him with the position of teacher's pet. Now, when you are in the position of teacher's pet, notice I said, first of all, I said reward and not appointment. You may be appointed to be a disciple, but you have to earn the right through hard work to know the truth. That's why he chose Peter, because Peter was always right there when Jesus was doing something. He always knew that if enough of Peter's whys were answered, then that loudmouth, nosy, obnoxious fisherman would eventually become a great leader and apostle whom God could use to get the world's attention. I love to surround myself with people who can stir up the fire in me. I don't need nobody around me that always singing the blues.
All right.
Always singing the blues, always got trouble, always, and it's always focused on them. They can never listen to you. I get tired of people like that. I love to surround myself with people who can stir me up in the fire. Some people in the body of Christ know just what to say to ignite a fire in you. And sometimes it's not always nice. There are some people who can say something to you that will hurt your feelings for the moment, but it will stir you up to go do something. I thank God for those people. I thank God for people who can say something that motivate you to do something. Stop hanging around people that's always singing the blues. Yeah. Get around some folk that will absolutely tell you the truth and motivate you to go do the very best that you can. In other words, you got to get you a few radical friends that know how to tear the roof off and lure you in to see Jesus. But you got to get away from folk who don't want to do nothing for you except talk crazy. No one, though, can ignite in you what's not already in you. If it's not in you, how you going to ignite it? If you got no power, how you going to plug in? You got to already have something down on the inside of you. That's why I'm taking my time this morning, because we can holler and shout, and a week later I said, well, what the pastor preach on? And nobody would know. But we hollered and shouted about what? I came out. I got my victory. Okay, where's the evidence? I'm tired of us just being Sunday go to meeting on these saints. In other words, we just come on Sunday morning. We get the victory on Sunday morning, but there ain't no victory on Monday morning. Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. By Friday, we down in the dumps. It ought to be evident. I'm looking to train up some people that can have church all by themselves. That they don't have to just come to church to celebrate God. They can celebrate God right there in their own house. Right on the job. They can celebrate God and talk to God wherever they are at. They don't have to wait to get to church at Sunday at 10:45 in the morning to give God some praise. They can magnify God wherever they are. They can give God glory wherever they are. They can testify the goodness of Jesus to somebody else and help somebody else get a breakthrough. That's my teaching goal, is to raise up a group of people that know how to go out into the world and affect change in somebody else's life.
All right.
I love singing and shouting and dancing, but at the end of the service, that's all it was. If there's no power behind it, what are you going to do after you leave church? What are you going to say after you leave church? Where are you going to go after you leave church? What you going to watch after you leave church?
All right.
Who are you going to hang around after you leave church? Are you going to go back and get in the bed that you just got out of that don't belong to you?
Watch out.
Are you going to go back drinking, right, and you just came in here and you drowned yourself in a bottle of cologne or perfume to make sure nobody else can smell a smoke on you? You going to go run back? You running back to smoking and drinking? You running back to fornicating? Where's the power to shout it again if there's no change in the way you came? We have got to do something different. There has to be a change. Is anybody going to go home and say enough is enough? Is anybody going to put their foot down and say, get me behind me safe? Is anybody going to call some folks out of their house? Because when you don't call them out in a loving way, you are allowing the behavior to persist. You got to call some things out and say what's right or wrong. The world has labeled us, I'll just use it as an example, homophobic. I'm not homophobic. That's just going to agree with that lifestyle.
Amen.
What makes me homophobic? I'll hug you just like I hug anybody. Amen. But just because I believe that a man should have a wife, then a man should have another man, come on now. I don't agree with that. That's not my God to agree with that. In fact, if you read his word, he says it's an abomination. He said your mind been turned over to a reprobate mind because you can go down the world. Because he said, if you a man uses the body for the wrong reason with another man, and a woman uses her body for the wrong, you done going off the deep end. I'm praying for you. How can I be homophobic and pray for you? I'ma love you. I'ma love you, but don't think that your spirit gonna rub off on me. I got enough God in me. rub off on you. You ain't around me long enough. Something's gonna change. You gonna come out from among them and be ye separated, says the Lord. You hang out with me. Does not mean that I'm out of